Right, right. No, what I'm asking you is it still accurate to discount your listener support by 6% for LA?
It's not discounted by 6%. What happens is that Maria has found that the best thing to do is to make the beginning big total 106%. And so when Los Angeles money just gets sent to you, or pledges get sent to you, that reduces that chalkboard total by 6%, where then we start with 100. And after that, we recognize through tradition that about 6% of that is income for Fresno. And the KPFK money really doesn't go into our books. The records get sent to you, and you handle it. The KFCF money does go into our bank, and is at the end of each month, the Memphis report show by which zip code donations need to be forwarded to KFCF.
Thank you.
Okay, I have a question. So I'm looking at the premium cost. And this is account 6750, line 152 in the budget. $116,979. And I'm kind of shaking my head because that's the amount that we had spent last year by the close of April 30th in the financial statements provided. And, of course, we had a full fund drive in May. And, a substantial community fund drive in August. So based on what our history is, this is looking to me like about a 45% decrease in our premium costs, which are already pretty much at the 1 to 10 ratio. I mean, is there some plan to actually achieve this? Because it would be a really substantial difference in what our spending patterns have been to date.
Go ahead.
Well, our premiums are about 6% on the high end if you compare our premium expense to our listener support. That is the way the template accounts for it. You total up all your listener support, you total up all your premiums, and you get your rate, your percentage, your ratio of it's 5.69%, I believe it is, and we have an extremely good ratio. We don't overspend on our premiums. And that's the way, when we first executed the template back for the LSB, the template, one of the many problems the template has, and this is a pretty big one, it accounts for premium expenses being associated with direct mail and renewal pieces, which we do not send out premiums for direct mail and renewals. So the template was overstating all of the premium expense as well.
Maria, are you aware that on the financials through July 31st that Raul just sent out, the KPFA has already spent $156,000 on premiums through the end of July and did, in fact, overspend last year's budget?
All of those numbers were just sent out. I haven't had a chance to look at anything.
Okay.
And a lot of them are preliminary, same as the April 30th, which we told you many times they were preliminary numbers. They should not be taken as final numbers. And Raul, has put together this the most latest statement. he and I haven't had a chance to look at them, I mean, to talk about them. So they were just literally numbers that came out, and none of us have had a chance to review them. The other thing I can say is that, unfortunately, and our GM has been very much on top of this, as has our subscriptions people, is to make sure that we have all fund drives completely covered when it comes to premium. And we have had a couple of departments that unfortunately are lagging a little bit. So now that they're catching up, we're basically overspending in theory
for past drive.
So our general manager is making absolutely sure that does not keep happening.
I can verify. I got two old premiums.
Okay, well, you're on target to spend $180,000 this year, so $116,000 would be a substantial change from what you are doing, and those numbers track to 2012 and 2011 and 2010.
Okay, also, the template, that you know, the projected figures for 2013, again, the template was erroneously on items not set out. So if we look at those projected numbers, we are definitely overstating our numbers.
Okay, well, we did have an audit, and I don't recall that the auditors have dramatically taken down those numbers. And I think KPFA has done a good job lowering premium costs over the past couple of years, but there's a question of whether you can lower them much beyond 1 to 10 or 1 to 12. 1 to 20 is very ambitious. It's basically making the case that you can have a $750,000 fund drive with net pledge drive receipts of $500,000-something with only $25,000 worth of premium.
RCM would like to say something, please.
In terms of the fulfillment of past drive, we are literally filling from drives more than a year ago. Those are not going to be on the fiscal year 2014 budget. So those expenditures should not really be counted against that particular budget.
Well, but the costs are still going to be spent.
But they're falsely, they're being included in the current fiscal year. And again, this would take a lot of analysis. Take a look at the financial statements that came out so we can accurately tell you what came from the fiscal year 13 fiscal year 13 fund drive or from the fiscal year 12 fund drive.
Okay, so anybody else? Yeah.
If you look at the listener support tab, if you really study the template, if you look at the listener support collections tab, it breaks down how the premiums work for all of the fund drives. So we have to, the analysis that happened is not just current numbers, but this whole template.
To the template.
That
whether
is
it's accurate to us.
All right, just to read a couple of numbers off the Raoul's actuals for 2013 to date, and of course we've all received the 2012 audit, I believe, at this point. Listener revenue for the first 10 months of July 2013 is at 2.154. The year-to-date budget figure would be 2.247, so it is 93,000 under. Overall revenue is at 2.703. According to the budget, it should be 2.898. So it's $195,000 below last year's budget. 65,000 of that is attributable to CPB delays. $130,000 is attributable to raising less money than proposed. Salary and related is at $1.535 million, which is $105,000 over what was budgeted to date. development expenses are pretty much on budget. The budgeted amount for premiums was about $150,000. In that category, KPFA is $27,000 under. I'm sorry, $27,000 over. And there are a couple of direct mails that didn't go out and other items that are corresponding. Actually, $30,000 in planned direct mail that was budgeted but not sent. The total result is $187,000 in deficit as of July 31st. Again, $65,000 of that is CPD delayed, and about $120,000 of it is absolute deficit. So that's where we are. Are there any other questions, or should we go to kind of temperature taking?
Tracy,
I would just like to remind us that Raul's statements were preliminary. There still are things that need to be analyzed, reconciled, both at KPFA and I would imagine everywhere.
Yes, I understand, but we also need to look at the data that we have. We asked our CFO to provide us with actuals to date. He has done so. We also have a 2012 audit, which also showed an operating deficit. And, of course, we have our actuals from 2011, 2010, 2009. It is not inappropriate to consider previous performance when looking at a budget. It is, in fact, what most organizations do. I understand your concerns that the numbers are preliminary. It bears some observations that the 2012 audit confirmed most of the numbers that we're talking about in some of the problematic categories, or the categories that were running somewhat over projections. Okay.
Tracy, this is Raul.
Yes, Raul.
Just wanted to clarify. You were referring to, like, CPB delay of $65,000. I'm not showing that anywhere. Where do you see that?
The CPB funds that were contingent on the submission of the audit were specifically supposed to come in this fiscal year, and of course they haven't come in yet, although they should be in shortly.
No, but
apparently the budget to date doesn't contain those numbers. As for the amounts, they were read out loud on the audit committee stream by the auditor, what each station could expect.
Right, right. But on the 2013 year-to-date financials that I submitted to the committee earlier, we have now recorded the actual CPB funding allocated, whether we haven't received the last installment, the second installment of two. We already recorded it, as you can see in the financials that I sent you. It's already on target on the budget. It's already recorded and amortized, being amortized on a monthly basis.
Oh, really? Okay. Well, in that case, the deficit holds at 187.
Exactly. And just another clarification. Maria and Barbara, they are absolutely correct, because we need to further examine the line items for the premiums that are being recorded here in my financial statements. We have those numbers are coming from the GL. Those were actual payments of premiums, and Maria needed to provide me what part of these expenditures have not been distributed to, if there are any premium inventory on hand that should reduce these expenses. Those are some of the items that needs to be straightened out in the process of closing the financial statements. But these are just interim financial statements that will be done on a monthly basis, and it will show some of the adjustment. And moving forward, we will work on with the each station's management and review this prior to the submission to the DND and the local station board, as well as the National Finance Committees. So this is a preliminary
report, and so anything that Maria sees on this financial statement that has some changes or adjustments that needed to be done will be done in the succeeding month.
Premium inventory as of the 2012 audit, which I assume has been checked, was about $5,000. It wasn't the
right,
vast amount for what it's worth.
Exactly. And that could change. It may not be, it may be less than that, it may be more than that. But again, there is a process. And I think once we, this is a preliminary interim financial statement, and we, when we will issue this financial statement by tomorrow. But again, this is subject to the review of each individual managers or management, each station's management. And then if there are any changes or adjustments that needed to be done, they need to submit it to the national office, and we will go through that with them, and we will analyze the variances.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Are there any other informational questions? Okay, so with that, I guess we'll go to the kind of temperature-taking part. And the way that we do this is that basically we kind of go around the horn and let people express their comfort level with the draft budget, where their thoughts are headed, if they feel they could approve it as is, or if they feel that some modifications would be in order, and if so, what those might be. And this can be in kind of general terms. So why don't we go around the horn? Paul, why don't we start on the East Coast? And then we'll work our way around.
All right. Part of my temperature is not having been able to see the template, the spreadsheet for a while. It was a problem, and I can see it now, and I've slogged through removing password protection from many sheets here. I am concerned about, you know, $2,400 at the end of the year. That, you know, that's an afternoon for one of the large stations. So it is a source of concern. And new hires, when you're also giving everybody a 3% raise, is a concern as well. And looking at basically the bottom line, looking at the prospect for a deficit is something that's concerning me, because if everything goes perfectly well, KPFA ends up just barely squeaking through and not having a deficit. If things go not perfectly well, there is a deficit. And if it's a small deficit, you know, we could all live with that. But something this close, any small thing happening could put you into five figures easily and six figures without a whole lot of trouble. So I am concerned about this. I am also concerned that I wasn't able to see as much of it as I would like to over as much time as I would like to. So I'm sort of concerned about this, because we have seen proposals on how things will go in the past, and they have not always gone as swimmingly as folks have thought they would. So I am not totally convinced that this budget isn't overly optimistic. That's my temperature.
Okay, so Mona Jay's not with us, so that takes us to D.C. Marcus or Tony? Whichever one of you gets off mute faster, I guess. Are you there, guys?
I'm here. I didn't know if Marcus wanted to go first. I'll make my comment. I'm, you know, I tend to lean generally toward the local station board and treasurers, their recommendations, so I don't have any serious reservations about it, although I will admit I am concerned about the new hires and even if they are, some of them are part-time, that, to be quite frank with you, I think across the, we do need to seriously look at across the board, and I know this is a very controversial point, but we do need to seriously look at staff reduction where we, where there is, even through, however it's necessary to do some sort of staff reduction across the board and all the particularly the large. But, so that's why I've asked every budget, I'm curious about the full-time and part-time staff, because I think that when you take away our major, looking at our deficit, I mean, Pacifica as a whole, when you don't count democracy power, free speech, staff and its benefits tend to be a very major hit. And I think that's what we need to seriously, seriously look at across the board, some serious staff reduction of personnel that's really not needed or duplication of personnel. So I honestly think we need to seriously all stations in that regard. But that's the only reservation I have. And but overall, I think I could live with the minor deficit we have.
Marcus? Okay, maybe not. That takes us to Texas. Richard or Jim?
Okay, it's Jim. I'm just kind of echoing what everybody else has said as far as staff. If this year is in deficit and there's expectations for a almost neutral budget, that there's going to be new hires of quite a lot of money, Pacifica just does not get rid of staff. And my feeling is almost you have to stop it before you hire staff. And I just had a hard time, seeing $150,000 of increase in salary, and that's the one area that I think everybody agrees we're a little bit too full of right across, all the stations. So that just makes me feel real uncomfortable, and I don't see how a budget with that much of an increase in staff salaries, is that we can pass it.
Okay, Richard. Richard, are you there? Okay, we'll
go ahead. I'm here. I'm getting off of mute.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I was getting in and out of the car. So. What are we doing?
We're kind of doing temperature taking, which is basically what are your thoughts and feelings about this budget? Would you feel comfortable passing it as submitted? Are you not comfortable, and if so, why? Not binding, just where we at.
I still need to do some listening. I'm going from one car to another right now, and I'm trying to listen as much as I can. Y'all keep going. I'll comment here. Thank you.
Okay, let's hope brings us to LA. We have John and we have Michael. Hello?
Hello? Hello, can you hear
me? We can hear you, Michael. Go ahead.
I was looking at the, I got a lot of echo in my own voice, I know.
I'm sorry,
getting a lot of echo when I speak. I was looking at the assumptions, additional information tab, and I was wondering if you could say more about sort of comparing what you're anticipating versus 2012 and 2013, as far as listener support, and you're showing, you know, sort of small but consistent increases in every drive compared to what it has been. I was wondering if you could explain more why you think that will be the case. And then this is kind of just a minor issue, but when you talk about the CPP grants on that tab, you have the October to March and then the April to October. And so the monthly grant accrual is 10,000, but you actually add those up. It's not in the figure. I mean, you actually show the accurate accrual of 128,000 for the whole year, but that's not 21,000 a month. That's still 10,729 a month because the 6 month, the 2 6-month accruals don't add up together. And you didn't actually add them up together, but on that sheet, it says the number's not accurate. It should still be 10,729 for the monthly accrual.
Anybody want to address that?
She's looking at it right now.
Yeah, and the larger question was just, you know, why you think you'll have the, you know, consistent increase on your fund drive compared to the last 2 years.
Well, if you know, I don't know, Michael, if you know the history of KCFA, but we lost a good show that created a lot of surplus for us. And we have now... We used to get a lot of surplus from this one show, well over $300,000 a year, free and clear out of all salary and everything. And that show was eliminated. We have now substituted or have a morning show that is doing very well. We have different plans that are coming from the general manager, which I'd rather he speak to, not myself. But also, we have different plans, different approaches that we're handling our direct mail campaign that for the first time, have got good success from. So the increase isn't significant from budget to budget, but, you know, but at least that's the whole goal, right, is keep going up. And, our summer drive, we had our 2012 came in at $307,000. This last summer drive, we came in at $342,000. So we have been surpassing our goals, here in the recent history.
Okay.
I'd like for Richard, Richard, our GM, to speak up or to add.
Yeah, with regard to the revenues generated in the fund drive, one of the reasons why we proposed this particular new position is simply that right now we have staffers who are producers, who are programmers. They're doing something that, you know, they've tried to do quite well, and in some cases they've succeeded, but they're not experts in it. In Pacifica, perhaps the greatest revenue stream is listener contributions. If you look in the newspaper, it says we're listener-supported radio. To have that important amount of money not handled by somebody who is an expert in that, and to instead use people who do their best but essentially are just taking time away from their other duties to do it, doesn't make any sense. It's a very important area. And I must say that particular position, the way it's crafted now, it isn't just a matter of being able to generate more revenue from it, which it will, but by the same token, it is designed to make better use of our volunteers and paid staff. As somebody who's come outside of Pacifica, I've managed the Pacifica affiliates, but we operate differently than the Pacifica 5 stations. We have unpaid staff, volunteers, who have responsibilities to the station above and beyond their shows. They fill positions. They perform functions that we would otherwise have to pay for. A position like this can actually save money by simply coordinating volunteers and unpaid staffers in the fulfillment of responsibilities that we're now paying for.
Okay, Michael, are you done? Do you have more to say?
No, that's it for now.
Okay, let's go to John Crumshaw.
Okay, I would say I want to ask a question about the increase in salaries. Is that a result of union negotiations?
That's part of it.
And the other part would be what?
What they were just discussing. The additional, not full-time, additional position, and also returning to the idea of hiring a program director rather than using the salary, as we did this past year, to have an assistant to the general manager.
If I could address one other concern that was mentioned, with regard to never losing staff, the position of fund drive and volunteer coordinator is actually designed to phase out. Once program director comes on board, then part of that position will be phased out. Once the director of marketing development comes on board, that position will be phased out.
Okay, thank you.
I also have one other thing to add to that, to this position that we feel is so essential. We have our great professional programmers, producers, programmers who work so many hours, and they also are part of our fund drive committee that we have here internally. One of which is a gentleman who actually produces shows for three other stations, four total for Pacifica. He is to the limit, and this is where we need to, like what Richard was saying, is we need help in maximizing our talent. We can't be relying on our talent who's already producing four different shows for different network or for different stations, and asking him to do more so he could, help coordinate the fund drive.
You need to scratch paper.
Okay, I actually have a question.
Because I have a second item, but I don't know if it's related to the first issue I raised.
No, that's fine. Go ahead, John. This is your time. Go ahead.
The other concern that I have is whether the proportion of monies paid for premiums and the amount received is accurate and reasonable. It appears that it may be excessive, so I would like someone to address the legitimacy of the proposed figures.
Well, there's a lot about the premiums that is driven by the budget template. And as we've said in the past, the proportion or ratio that the budget template more or less mandates is not ours. That is not our proportion or our ratio. Oh, wait a minute.
On the assumptions page of our budget, you will see a whole list of listener revenue that has come in. And right next to it, you will see what the premium costs are. And that ratio is about 5.6%. Is that what you're talking about? I'm sorry, maybe I'm not understanding.
Yes, that is what I'm talking about.
Yeah, so on cell number I-149 of the assumptions page, you will see 5.689%. And that is our premium cost to listener support revenue.
And that's approximately maybe something less than 20-1. Is that realistic?
Yes, because you're looking at actual numbers, sir. That's 96 all the way down to 139. Those are actual numbers.
Those are actuals. Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Sorry. Maria, could you clarify, what are you saying are actuals?
On the assumptions page, row 96 down to
139.
Anyway, so that brings us to the 5.689.
How do you translate to 1 to? Is it 1.5?
Okay, so those premium costs are defined as $576,000 since October 2009.
Yeah, now these were all numbers, unaudited numbers and such, so, you know.
Okay,
October 2009. We, on just a regular basis, we never, ever go above 10%. That is our rule, and I think our general manager can attest to that.
Well, I think those numbers actually support that we're spending more than $116,000 a year, if you do the math. But
the formula is there. It adds up, grows 96 to 140. I don't.
Well, I'm just saying, if you 576,000 divided by 3.5 is not 116. It's a higher number.
The template, if you were to look, if you would not mind going to Listener Support Collections tab, and you look at, the template says, well, sorry, I'm looking at the wrong one.
It's 4.5, not 3.5. That's the problem.
I'm looking from
09 to June 2013.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I have the wrong template open. I'm about to give you wrong numbers here. If you go to Listener Support tab, and you go to spell T265. That is not my number that I made up. That number came from the template itself. As well as go to cell T2, that shows the listener support and how that came about.
Yeah, well, those numbers of $576,000, basically, if you go back and divide them by 3.5 years,
oh, it's sort of
support. 2009, October 2009 to October 2010, October 2010 to October 2011, October 2011 to October 2012, that's 3 years, plus October 2012 to June of 2013, three years, 9 months.
Well, regardless of what the history may be, the template comes up with a 5.6%. It's not a made-up number. But do the math yourself to figure it out. That is what falls into the template. Everybody is using the same template. I don't know what to tell you. I'm not picking up numbers.
The budget that was given to the KPFA LSB had a premium number of $148,000. With listener support of $2.7 million. We're now at 2.656, and the premiums have dropped by $32,000. Is there an explanation for that?
Yes,
because it's a reduction in listener revenue of $54,000. Yes. And it's a reduction in premium cost of $32,000, which is like 60% of that number.
I already explained that. Number one, the testament had a fulfillment rate at 100%. And number two, the premium costs were being calculated on direct mail and renewals that we do not give premiums for that. The template was wrong. And it has been for the last 3 or 4 years.
Okay. So why, under the audit, are our premium costs coming up at the wrong amount? I mean, I'm not getting this contention that all of the numbers are wrong forever by multiple auditors.
I'm not even seeing the audit numbers, so I can't speak to those.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, so we've done the temperature taking, and we probably need to figure out kind of where we're going to go.
Tracy, can I say something on the temperature taking?
No. Wait a second. That's for members of the committee, not for the people. Hang on. In a second. So the next part is to kind of figure out where we want to go here. So we've identified a couple of things that we have some concerns about. Just to reiterate what people said.
Madam Chair.
Well, wait a second. I will call on you as soon as I'm done speaking. Please wait. Thank you. In terms of the things that we've identified some concerns about the premium numbers vis-a-vis listener support. I've heard people express concerns about the scope and scale of the payroll increases of $250,000 on listener support that's basically the same. In addition, we haven't dealt with the legal allocation of zero, and you may want to talk about that a bit. And then we also have to talk about budgetary consistency and depreciation allowances, which I believe will be somewhat less than they have been, but probably are not going to be zero. So at this point, we kind of have to think about how we're going to resolve all this stuff. I didn't hear anybody else come up with anything else specific. If I left anything out, speak now. Okay. Raul, you wanted to say something? I'm calling on Raul.
I won't, but Raul will be recognized.
You wanted to say something, Raul?
Yeah, hang on a second. There's an echo. Okay, there you go. Mm-hmm. But I just want to say something, because like, I thought I was a voting member of the NFC. And
you are.
And I expect to have the same voice as everybody that you called on to provide their temperature, Madam Chair. But
that's not how temperature checks go. Go ahead.
Excuse me?
I said the temperature checks are for the members of the committee from other stations. They're not for the CFO.
Oh.
There is a difference between having a staff position and not having a staff position.
Okay.
I'm happy to hear what you have to say, but we were going through a temperature taking cycle around the stations. And that's been completed.
Okay. Well, for what it's worth, it looks like the temperature check is only applicable to that. I don't know. That's the rule of the procedure. But and nevertheless, I wanted to, as a voting member of this committee, I wanted to say something, and as a CFO for the Pacifica Foundation, I wanted to say that I'm looking at the budget process as a whole. One component of this is obviously each station's budget. And we should not forget about what each station contributes to the overall success of the organization. And there are two major stations, and I'm not underestimating the powers of the other station, but I'm saying that in these times of our financial difficulties, we have to look at our strong stations that are generating revenue, contributing revenue to help out the overall goals of the Pacifica Foundation. I'm looking at the budget for KPFA, and I'm showing that KPFA, with their contribution, with their budgeted listener support, as well as their previous year's performance, they are bound to contribute about $500,000 to the national office and the PRA as to operate this network. And adding one or two additional employees to generate this revenue. We need to spend some money to generate revenue, and we need to make sure that the efficiency and the effectivity of the operations of one station is not impacted by proposing any budget cuts, by proposing any reduction in some of their expenses vis-a-vis salaries, premiums, and all those things. I think it is important to note that the KPFA contributes about $500,000 a year to the national office and PRA, the Pacifica Radio Archives, and therefore we should look into the budget in the bigger picture, the picture of the foundation as a whole. And the proposed changes in the amendment to their budget, I think is reasonable and realistic at this point, and I would probably support the revisions to their budget with the explanation that they have provided so far. Thank you.
Barbara, you wanted to say something?
Well, I wanted Raul to speak, and I'm very glad he did. I couldn't agree more. And since we've discovered all the problems with the budget template, and we have someone on staff who sounds like he could help us develop a more reasonable way to do our budgeting, I don't feel bad at all about breaking some of the traditions that we've had here. For instance, treating depreciation as a non-cash item, whether every station does it or not, I don't care. I just want us to treat it as a cash item. And I wish that the committee would pass on this budget and look to the future for improvements in the way we do our budgeting.
Well, I want to say a couple of things. Is there anyone else who wants to speak? Okay. I mean, since we're talking about the overall picture, it probably makes some sense to reiterate that KPFA's smaller operating deficits are a result of following two consecutive years in 2009 and 2010 when the station lost over $550,000 a year for two consecutive years and, in fact, was unable to contribute to central services whatsoever. After April of 2010, the station got $250,000 in debt to the national office. That's a debt that wasn't paid until the middle of 2012. I believe it was finally paid off May or June of 2012. So we certainly have to pay attention in the budgeting process to not planning for deficits, because what happens when our stronger stations go south, and it bears mentioning that both A and K look to be posting $200,000 deficits this year, and you have also been in the negative in 2012, then we essentially lose our ability to function as a going concern. So setting up situations where stations are running so close to the edge that any little thing can put them over, and in this case, I think we've got some seriously understated expenses, is basically planning to fail. And my preference would be that we not plan to fail, but that we plan to succeed. KPFA's return from deficits of almost $600,000 have exactly everything to do with appropriate budgeting. And a $187,000 deficit is disappointing after it was down to $67,000 in 2012 and a similar amount in 2011. We don't want the $187,000 last year to turn into $600,000 this year. And I think it is very much the job of this committee not to head in that direction. So let's not minimize the concerns that were raised, and let's look at what would be a plan to succeed. And having a situation where we know we're going to write off $70,000 or $80,000 in depreciation off of a $2,400 surplus is in fact budgeting for a $78,000 deficit.
You sell to the sky.
And that is not the charge of this committee. Yes, Richard, go ahead.
I have a question for the CFO. Raul, are you there?
Yes, I am.
I listened to what you just said about how the station in Berkeley has contributed a lot to Pacifica, and that we all have contributed a lot. We've all carried weight when other stations had problems. And we're all good for that. Well, it's wonderful when we can help do things. But when extra money is paid, it is credited to their account. Now, the chair was just telling us how much they've been in the red for the last several years. And I know for a fact that they went through, I think it's $2 million of their own savings because they weren't being run correctly. And I guess my question to you, Raul, were you saying that we should just look away from them having balanced budgets here because of the guy?
No, I did not say that we have a unbalanced budget. They are presenting a budget that...
No, I didn't. I didn't say you said you had an unbalanced budget. I'm asking you: Are you saying we should just look away from an unbalanced budget because they're good guys?
No, that's not even my statement.
You said that we should not be as critical or some, use two or three other words, but to me it came out that you would look the other way from an unbalanced budget. And right now it looks to me like they have an unbalanced budget.
So I would repeat what I said. Is that what we needed to do to look into is that we needed to spend money to generate those revenue that we are projecting. And
the other question: Do we get to spend money we do not have?
No. That's why I preluded my statement with the budget that was presented as an amendment to their original budget showing about $29,000 in surplus, the revised one that they had made some changes on to some of the formula errors as well as the some of the expenses relating to the listener support revenue numbers. They had presented a revised budget, and that's what I said in my statement, saying that I would support that because they're showing a surplus of $29,000. It may not be a lot.
Okay, Raul, okay. You answered my question. I don't know if I like your answer, but you answered my question.
Thank you so much.
I wanted to know.
Anytime.
All right. So a couple of things that I think we sort of have to look at. One is that this is one 501c3, and I do not think we can have a situation where we treat one station differently than the other station. We have in the past tried to make accommodations for stations' financial situations, and I think it was clear to everyone that that was not a good idea. And I don't want to get into favoritism for one station over another, whether it's my station or not. So it seems to me that allowing one station to spend their depreciation allowance on extra employees and run a deficit accordingly doesn't make a whole lot of sense if we're not permitting the other stations to do so. I'm sure Texas would love to spend their depreciation allowance on extra staff, and they desperately need extra staff. They have very little. But they presented a budget in accordance with Foundation policy, which attempted to be a balanced budget after depreciation, and I think that standard needs to be applied to by all of the stations. The depreciation allowance, let's see, in your actuals, Raul, is for 10 months of the year. Let's see what you've got here. Depreciation expense. Through July, which is 10 months of the year, it's $88,748, with a year-to-date budget of $95,500, and it looks like that will probably carry to the $95,000. Do you anticipate that figure going down? I think it was higher in 2012, so it looks like it's on a downward trajectory, which makes sense because we're not buying equipment and what we have is getting older. So is $95,000 the right number?
It's averaging about $8,500. It's going to be averaging about $8,500 a month.
Okay.
It's about $102,000.
Oh, wow. Really? That's higher. Okay.
That's you're looking at 10 month.
Yeah. That's why I'm asking. So we can stretch it out. So it's $8,500 a month. Calculator here. So 8,500 times 12, 102,000, right. Okay. The second scenario involves the premiums. It seems to me that 1 to 20, and I'm not hearing any sort of contention that there's a plan for dramatically reducing the current use of premiums, and I don't see really how it can be reduced any further. So I think we probably have to look at something similar to what was budgeted last year. Assuming that the year-to-date actuals are a little higher than they should be, which seems to be what I'm hearing, and based on the actuals that Maria presented, it looks like we had it about right in 2013. And we'll just need to challenge KPFA not to run over in 2013, in 2014, as they seem to have run over in 2013. So like KPFK, you'll have a challenge to kind of cap those costs. It looks like, if these actuals are at all accurate, you're going to run $40,000 to $50,000 over. But hopefully next year that won't be the case. So that leaves us at a figure of about $148,000. Which is, you know, about a 1 to 15 ratio, so it's ambitious.